Agricultural programming on WILL is made possible by Farm Credit Illinois, offering financial products and services specifically for the agriculture industry, including farm real estate and operating loans, crop insurance, and point-of-sale financing, as well as farm cash management solutions.
Good Thursday morning, everyone. This is Dave Dickey with the opening commodity market report. Chinese exports grew in June on the back of strengthening U.S. consumer demand. Chinese exports expanded by 7.2% year over year in June. U.S. imports of goods from China increased in each of the past 4 months to reach $37.99 billion in May. This morning, USDA reported its latest export sales report for the week ending July the 3rd. The numbers look like this in millions of bushels. Wheat this year, 12.4. Corn this year, 14.3. Next year, 15.0. Soybeans this year, 2.1, next year, 19.3. This morning also, private exporters reported at USDA export sales of 118,000 metric tons of soybeans for delivery to China during the 2014-15 marketing year. And also flying out the door this morning was export sales of 126,000 metric tons of soybeans for delivery to unknown. 60,000 is for old crop and 66,000 is for new crop. Plant scientists are warning growers who have experienced cool, wet weather to keep an eye out for white mold in their soybean fields. The white mold fungus thrives in cool, wet soils after soybean canopies have closed up and the first flowers emerge. North central states, including Iowa, Illinois, Michigan, Minnesota, and Wisconsin, have had surplus topsoil moisture for most of the growing season. Growers most at risk for suffering losses from the fungus are those who have had fields infected in the past. The last bad outbreak of white mold was in 2009. The Dow Jones Industrial Average, 16,812, is down 173 points. The NASDAQ at 43.52 is down 66. And the S&P 500 is 1949, and it is down 17.75 points. Joining us now with a look at agricultural weather is World Weather Incorporated meteorologist Drew Lerner.
Most of the Midwest weather is expected to continue to be quite favorable as we move forward through this next 10 days to 2 weeks. I don't want to imply that everybody will get rain, because I think there will be some areas that will not get much precipitation or will experience only limited amounts and will lead to net drying conditions. However, for mid-July, that's not a bad scenario as long as the temperatures are not excessively warm, and that is exactly the case. We're actually going to see colder biased conditions occurring periodically, and because of that, we'll likely see subsoil moisture conserved for quite a while, which means crops will fall back on that moisture reserve on a periodic basis as we move forward through this particular period of time. Now, the majority of the rain that occurs is still expected to be quite varied, with the greatest amount of precipitation expected to occur from parts of Ohio back over to Iowa, and this will occur from tomorrow into portions of the latter part of the weekend, Sunday, maybe even early Monday. Now, most of the precipitation that occurs in southern portions of the Midwest will be limited to Sunday and Monday, while the area from Iowa to Ohio will likely see a drier bias for a while. Most of the precipitation that's going to be occurring occurring across the region over this next two or three days is not likely to be real substantial. The precipitation will lead to some net drying in areas from the Dakotas through Minnesota and over to Michigan, and also across the region from portions of central Missouri into parts of the Ohio River Valley. Now, even though these areas will have net drying, they will have an opportunity for a little bit of precipitation. The majority of the precipitation that's going to occur across the region is going to be welcome in at least a few locations, but we will see the subsoil moisture situation continue to be most favored. And the temperature bias across the region continues to be expected to run mostly in a seasonable range, but we will cool down quite a bit as we move towards the latter part of the weekend into the early part of next week. In fact, some locations across the Midwest are probably going to experience temperatures that are far enough below average for a couple of days that quite a chill will be in the air. High temperatures in the 60s and 70s will occur during the early part of next week, and that will be followed by low temperatures in the 40s and some 50s. We only expect that to really be focused around Monday, so from late Sunday into Tuesday, that will be the coolest period. Temperatures before that time and after will be mostly in the 80s, and we'll see some 90-degree temperatures for a brief period of time across the lower parts of the Midwest as we move forward through the Friday, Saturday, and early Sunday period. We'll see very warm conditions returning to some of the lower parts of the Midwest at the end of next week. The next opportunity for rain across the region will hold off until warmer air comes back into the Midwest, so there will be a period during next week that will likely be relatively dry across a big part of the Midwest. And we'll look for some of the region there to continue to see favorable soil moisture, even though it's going to be drier for a while. And again, those temperatures will be cool enough that whatever loss that we get in the subsoil is going to be rather minimal. The potential for some kind of improving tendency on soil moisture will again be with us as the shower and thunderstorm activity returns, and most of that will occur as we get to the latter part of this forecast period out towards the 20th through the 24th. The bottom line is that crop stress for corn and soybean production areas is very unlikely as we move forward through this period of time. The topsoil moisture situation will firm in pockets across the region, but we don't expect it to be widespread. And I think the bottom line is a very good environment, not only for the U.S. Midwest, but portions of the Delta and the southeastern states as well. This is meteorologist Drew Lerner.
Support for agricultural weather on WILL comes from Busey. With over 145 years of agribusiness experience, Busey's team is committed to providing resources to today's producers. Busey, your dream, our promise.
Let's go ahead and see how futures are currently trading. Hard red winter July wheat, 664 and a quarter, up 3.5. September, 654 and 3/4, up 1.5. Soft July, 543, up 3.5. September, 554, up 2.75. July corn, 405 and 3/4, up 1.75. December, 397.5, down 0.5. July soybeans, 1344, up 9.5. November, 1107, up 3.25. July soybean meal, 443.10, up 3.60. July soybean oil, 37.24, up 20 cents. August live cattle, 149.10, down 170. August feeders, 210.72.5, down 287.5. July lean hogs, 132.87.5, down 42.5. Joining us on the phone to talk about the markets is Ellen Dearden of AgriView, and she is in Morton, Illinois. Good morning, Ellen.
Morning, Dave.
Well, it is the day before the day, and the bears have pretty much beat the market up this week.
Yeah, they sure have. In the overnight trade, about 6 o'clock, we made some new highs, and November beans did hold at $11 psychological support on the overnight early slide, December corn at that 395 area. So, you know, we're kind of ripe for a bounce. This thing's so darn oversold, but the rally that we had going on overnight, particularly in the corn, has been all given up.
So I suppose a couple of wild cards are for tomorrow is in crop production. Will we get a change in any of the yield numbers?
Yeah, I think that's going to be the case. And the trade's really zeroed in on a higher corn yield up in that 166, 168 bushels per acre, and soybeans up at 45.5 or so. And those would be up considerably from a year ago. But, you know, if the numbers come in much different than what the trade's expecting, we could see either a bounce or some more downside. I think the USDA will be apt to kind of lowball things on this particular report, even though there's some talk in the trade that the average corn yield will be up in that 168 to 170. I don't think USDA will come in very high.
Turn our attention to a comment or two about livestock, where if you're trading in those pits, you better have on your full armor these days.
Well, you need a seatbelt, that's for sure. It, you know, we were nearly up the limit Tuesday, nearly down the limit, you know, or up the limit Monday, nearly down the limit Tuesday. Now we're, you know, trading lower again. I think this market looks extremely toppy. Funds seem to be in control of things, particularly on the hog side. Cattle, it's kind of hard to find a bear, but when the market goes down as easy as it does, I think the market looks really toppy.
If nothing else, from a time standpoint, I think.
Yeah, and, you know, really, it will take years to rebuild this cattle herd, but we've talked about this, we've chewed on it, we've put the data out, I think everybody knows what's going on. Retailers are telling me that they are not seeing a big pullback in the buys of beef, but I noticed that in the grocery store, the package sizes are a little smaller.
Okay. Thank you, Ellen. Ellen Dearden of AgriView. You're listening to WILL Urbana, AM 580 and HD3 Urbana, and 9.